think, right on time. I'd like to introduce Dietlin Stoller from the Faculty of Arts. I have to say that I was attended a presentation that she made a while back, and it was an interesting example of how the science and arts can overlap, because I had asked in a food course numerous times, what's the percentage, I told many people in the room this, what's the percentage of McGill students who are meat eaters versus essentially vegetarians? And the answer that I, to my surprise, that I got every time was 90 meat eaters. I should give you a clicker example here, and 10 vegetarian. And in Dietlin's presentation, for reasons that I can't quite remember, except that it had something to do with aggressive countries or so, the meat eaters had the same percentage, 90 to 10, and so we agreed completely in the detail. So please, she's going to be talking about web conferencing.
Which means we can really measure well in social science, despite the belief to the contrary sometimes. Yes, so I am going to introduce today a new tool that I've been using in one of my courses in the last semester, and it's about web conferencing. And I would like to thank in advance Ashley Logan as well as Teddy Quintoro for their help, and actually many other people who have helped during these sessions that we had. I'm a political scientist. We teach in political science class sizes that range between 10 and 600 people. So it's quite a challenge. I personally have used a lot of different technologies that have been offered here at McGill, including clickers, Camtasia, although I use it a little bit differently. I use it to capture streaming videos online that I could use to support some sort of course content during the lecture, 1 or 2 minute videos that made a certain point about political situations in some countries or an interview with a political leader and so on. That work extremely well. I use blogs and op-eds on WebCT. I've done WebCT surveys with the students that I've actually used also for research purposes, but it gave the students a feeling for how to use a research tool like surveys more hands-on, and web conferencing. So today I will be talking about this experience in my class that is called Political Participation in Comparative Perspective. It's a 300-level course, and it had about 60 students in it. So I guess the concept here is the one about guest speakers. And guest speakers is a very useful tool that I'm sure you have thought about as well before that gives a lot of advantages. One of them being an obvious one, that it gives the students a new face to look at once in a while. They get tired of your face. And you appearing in front of them all the time. It gives the advantage of having someone included in lecturing who has a very different expertise and a very different specialty than yourself. And so they can talk about their research. And if it's a research-oriented course, which a lot of my courses are, that even adds another component. They can talk about an example of their research that fits into the overall course concept, so to say an application, a specialty. So, for example, in this course, I've been inviting two professors to speak on through the web conference. One was talking about protest research that he has done, and a new method of interviewing protesters while they protest. And he was in Belgium at the time. He was actually sitting in the convenient place of his living room while he was giving this web conference. And I also included a professor from Notre Dame University in the U.S. who was talking about his new book on religion and politics. And so that added a nice component to the course. Including guest lecturers also allows you, of course, to personalize authors. People read about all these famous authors and critiques of these authors, and they are very happy, actually, to meet them in person in a virtual kind of, or, of course, if you invite them personally in a real kind of way. And that really adds a nice learning dimension. And I just recently received my course evaluations, and that was the most mentioned point, actually, that this tool allowed them to meet the authors in person or virtually added to their learning experience. So I thought that was a very good aspect here. How can you invite guests? Because there are three different ways. You can invite them face-to-face. That works very well when they are here locally in Montreal, or they don't have to travel very far. If they have to travel farther, you can also invite them, but it costs more money, or there can be issues like a volcano ash kind of preventing you from traveling. So it is very complicated. And if you only want to invite them for a guest lecture, a lot of professors actually think, well, you know, shall I really make this trip for just 45 minutes or so. There's also the option of a video conference, one option that I've used before. We have some video rooms on campus that allow you to do this. So basically you bring over your class to this video room. There's one in the Redpath Museum. It becomes kind of like a field trip, but it has a disadvantage. The room has to fit your class size. You have to organize it long in advance, and there are more complicated technological issues to be involved here. So the web conferencing is actually a much more flexible tool. It lets you organize your web conference very easily, very spontaneously. And as I said, the professor, the presenter himself or herself can sit in their apartment or house, even with a glass of wine, and do this. So this is how it works. We use a web-based program, the web conferencing program, that basically can do, has a lot of different features. There are a lot of different pods here that you can see. This would be the main pod where we share the PowerPoint presentation. So what is happening? Everyone logs into this website remotely. The presenter, the students who are in your classroom, if they have their own laptops, or they can watch the screen, and of course the moderator, and at this time also several people like Ashley were monitoring what was going on here. So we have the part here of the PowerPoint presentation. We have here a chat part that I'm going to explain a little bit later. Here you can see who is logged in and is following the lecture. And of course, this is our presenter who is visibly seen, and therefore we can see him live. We can see him speak. We can see him react. We can see his facial expression. In this case, Professor Campbell was located at Notre Dame University in Indiana. And actually, David suggested to exchange his image with the one of Brad Pitt. He thought it would be a little nicer. I think it's setting too high of a standard here. So I discard this idea and rather stick with him. Actually, it worked very well with him. He's a very animated speaker and probably even a better speaker than Brad Pitt. Tool allows us to communicate with the class. So this is an example here. He is showing one of his graphs that he is talking about in the context of religion and politics. And Ashley is actually here communicating with the class and is telling the class that they can actually personally use, when they have a question for David, that they can use their own microphone and camera setup. So if we would use this tool, their face would appear here right below David's, and they can ask a question to him personally. We didn't get this tool to work very well. It was only one of the first tries here. So, but that's anyway an option that we can use. The second feature here I want to point to is that it can be a very interactive presentation. As you can see, David Campbell, the professor, the presenter in Indiana, can use here an arrow tool to point to certain things that he wants to highlight in his presentation. So it makes it quite interactive. And so he can make the students aware of special results and so on by using this tool. Another feature for those who are clicker addicted, I know there are some of us who are and who think it is a very good tool. Well, this tool doesn't mean you cannot use clickers. You can use clickers not so well in a normal context of a video conference, right? This is an inbuilt clicker tool, if you will. It's a polling tool, as it's called, where the students who are logged into the program can vote on the questions. So you can build questions on the fly as well as have inbuilt questions and students then answer. And of course, again, like with clickers, you can use these questions to build discussion questions, or you can ask knowledge questions to follow whether they have understood something that you have just explained. So it is a very interactive tool. It also gives you the chat option, this option that we used for the students to ask questions to the professor. And actually, this turned out to be a quite interesting tool. First of all, the presenter can choose which question to answer if there are lots of questions. So it gives the presenter some flexibility. It gives the students some semi-anonymity, as we called it. Actually, I had a lot of students asking questions who have never raised their hand in class. And that's quite an interesting discovery. It gives them some sort of way to be semi-anonymous here, although their name will be visible. It gives them a way to answer and to ask questions from their comfort zone of SNS tools that we talk about later here. And we can also save these questions for later analysis. The site that is needed here, you need someone, a presenter who's very flexible and who can quickly read through the questions and who's very dynamic in giving the answers, but that's, I think, something to be thought about for video conferences anyway. I'm coming to my last slide. So this is a very flexible tool, and it gives you multiple features. It allows for interaction with the students and to a level that the students can also determine. It uses networking aspects, and also it allows you to record. I think some of the things that still need to be worked on, the audio didn't work so well. We used actually Skype for the audio. It needs a little bit of time for the presenter to prepare. The one downside is, I think, that the presenter cannot feel the audience reaction. We had one camera onto the classroom, but it didn't give him the same feeling. I'm not sure how it will work for large classes when a lot of people are logged in to the program, but I think it has a potential, and it needs certain personality types to give a very dynamic lecture here. I think for the future, I will use this tool again, and I thought of using it also in a kind of short-term way, to have a famous professor that they have read and debated for like a 10-minute fly-in of greeting the class and being able to ask this professor one or two questions that are really burning with the students and being able to have a 10-minute interaction with someone who they have read so much. I think that is really a potential of this tool, and also to use it in the active learning classroom where everyone has a laptop. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That was really interesting. And are there questions? I think our presenters are so thorough that they've settled everything. Is there? Yes, please.
Two questions. One is, where do I get the tool? Do I buy the tool and install into my computer, into the lab, or it is available on the internet? And how student access to this tool?
Maybe Ashley wants to talk to this about this, but this is a web-based program, and it is a program that McGill University makes available for us as instructors, and it gives also support from the side of learning technologies, how to use this tool, but it would be accessed on the web. It's a web-based tool, so everyone can access it wherever you are, but we have used it within the classroom setting. So no, besides the presenter, who was, of course, somewhere else, everyone else was in the classroom.
So just to add to that, McGill is hosting it here at McGill, and it's connect.mcgill.ca. You request a web conference room through the ICS help desk. They will then assign you a room with your access as host, and then you can build your classroom the way that Dietland did there, add participants and everyone. And basically how your students access it is simply by sending them the URL as an invitation, and then they join the group. Okay?
Second question.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me as a language instructor teaching Chinese courses, because I see the potential for the participation of Chinese speakers from outside Montreal, outside Canada, even from China, Taiwan, Hong Kong. So, but I'm wondering how often you use this tool to organize a conference, web conferencing like this in your class.
I think the potential that you mentioned to have someone speak to your students from China directly, I mean, it would be fascinating to them, I'm pretty sure. I personally used this tool only twice in my class, but that doesn't mean anything. I think I just got to know this tool. It's the first time that I've even heard about it. I've been using web video conferencing before, but as I said, there are lots of advantages to this tool, so that I imagine using it much more in the future. And I can actually see using it in several lectures for various purposes, also for sometimes, as I said, for very short moments to show this other person and to have them communicate with the students on just one point or one question. So it wouldn't take too much time away from the lecture or from the presenter's time, but it adds a new dimension to it that I think we have never thought about before.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.